First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Com. You can go for all the latest stories, updates, or anything else we've really got going on. I tell you, it's been a very interesting day, but before we get into that, call in numbers as always, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. For you guys and gals that are in the listening queue, as always, we appreciate you being there, but hit that number one on your dial pad if you want to be heard on air. And for everybody else, hey, the chat room is always live during the show. You can feel free to join in there, and you can sign in using Facebook, Twitter, social media, whatever else you've got available. I tell you, for me, it's been a pretty rough day. A lot going on, and it's awful hard sometimes to keep track of everything. But it's interesting today, though, in the news. Finally, Eric Holder is gone. Or is he? Of course, mainstream is reporting everywhere that current Attorney General Eric Holder has decided he is going to resign. As everybody knows, Eric Holder is the first black person to hold the post of Attorney General. He's resigning. Of course, he's had so many problems. Over the 6 years he's been in office, the scandals, the cover-ups, everything else, good riddance as far as I'm concerned. We'll get into some of those cover-ups in just a few minutes, but I tell you, it's really interesting because he's talked, and we always continue to talk about freedom and liberty, and the conspiracy theorists think everything is a conspiracy. And there are a lot of truths in some of these so-called conspiracy theories. I have to admit that myself. But he asked what his biggest regret was. Now, you would think, Officer Brian Terry being killed thanks to him letting guns cross the border unchecked in the Fast and Furious scandal, you would think that, harboring you know, and not opening up documents and things like that that we're entitled to and being transparent that would help us get to the bottom of different things like, oh, I don't know, Benghazi, IRS, all these other scandals that have been involved. You would think that his big regret would be that maybe, just maybe, you know, an American lost their life over a dumb thing and he refused to prosecute. Maybe he could have a biggest regret that, you know, he didn't hold the new Black Panther Party accountable for illegal voter intimidation in Pennsylvania. Maybe there would be something here that we could sit and say it's a big regret for him. Now, a lot of you guys will like this regret of Eric Holder. I think it's garbage. Eric Holder says, if you ask me what my biggest regret is, I would say that it's the failure to pass any responsible and reasonable gun safety legislation after the shootings in Newton. He said he thought that in the aftermath of the school shootings in Connecticut, that the nation would embrace change that was not radical but really reasonable on gun ownership. Now, for you conspiracy theorists on Newton and the Sandy Hook shootings, I got to be honest with you. I spent a lot of time today looking at different videos and looking at some of the conspiracy theories and the other things going on out there. And there is really, truthfully, a lot of what I think compelling evidence to make us at least question what in the heck really went on with Sandy Hook and Newton, Connecticut. You know, but where you feed the conspiracy theory, I guess, is with that statement. Holder said he thought that in the aftermath of the school shootings in Connecticut, that the nation would embrace change on gun ownership. So when you look at that, those who already think that Newton was, hey, you know, a cover-up, a lie, nothing really happened. You know, there's a lot of people who don't think that we put a man on the moon either. But, you know, there's a lot of people who believe that theory and that they did this to try to force gun control. And then Eric Holder says that's the biggest regret he has. I don't think the man really has a conscience to have a regret, to be honest with you, or he wouldn't be in the situation we're in. You know, it's very, very disturbing. There are a lot of things that I don't like about Eric Holder. Quite frankly, I can't think of one thing that I have liked about Eric Holder other than his decision to resign. But let's be honest here. Let's be totally honest here. Why is Eric Holder resigning? I think the answer is simple. He's getting his butt pounded and handed to him at every turn. Anytime he tries to take something to court, he loses. He's a clear failure as a lawyer or the head of this agency. He can't win a court case on anything. He can't be transparent with the information we're asking for, because if he's transparent, then he's going to get caught, in my opinion at least, going to get caught doing some illegal or unethical things. You know, but he has agreed to stay on and do us all this great favor. He's agreed to remain in his post until they announce a successor and confirm them. Now, here's the kicker. How long is that going to take? Is it going to take the rest of Obama's term to find somebody that we can confirm that would actually do the job right as a U.S. Attorney General? I don't know. They don't either, and that's the beauty of it. You know, so we look at all of these different things that are coming into play, and we start questioning the different things. Let's look at some of these controversies. Let's look at some of the things Eric Holder did, but his biggest regret is not getting gun control. We can start with the Fast and Furious scandal, if you will. And it's a scandal. You know, there has been a heck of a lot of court rulings against his Department of Justice, as I said, over his failure to produce documents, primarily because of the Fast and Furious firearms operation. As we know, it's a Fast and Furious scandal. He has come under all kinds of criticism from Congress. He's even actually had some Democrats that stood up against him in this regard. You know, everybody has been asking for his, you know, resignation. They've been looking to have him fired. They've been trying to do anything they can. He's been held in contempt of Congress for not releasing documents. You know, these are the things that are disturbing. He went to court once again. Yeah, you heard me right. He went to court once again and said that he needed more time, you know, to comply with the email and everything else that he's been required to give to Congress forever now. It's been over 2 years, I believe. But he says he needed more time. And what he basically did was he tried to get the judge to give him some more time to come up with the documents and everything else that were requested. And he asked that he be given until, check this out, the day before the election. Now, I wonder why that is. Could it be perhaps that he knows that the Democrats are in serious trouble? He knows that Obama is in a serious risk of losing the Senate, and the House is going to gain seats. All indications are that, anyway. It may not come to pass. I can't speak for the voter. But he knows that they're in trouble, so what do you do? This is exactly what they've been doing. Delay, delay, delay to try to get through the midterms. You release the documents the day before the election. It's too late for them to have any effect on the election. It's fascinating. And the sheeple don't understand that. But at least the federal judge refused to grant the additional time that he had requested. The judge said, no, you will produce everything we told you to produce by October the 22nd. That's still a limited amount of time to get to the voter. It's only 2 weeks. But you can bet that this will be all over the news. So it's going to get carried plenty of pull if he follows through and does what he's supposed to do. If he doesn't, will he be held in contempt? I don't know. We're going to find out. Some of the scandals that have... For me, it all started with the new Black Panther Party, I guess. If you're going to get into the scandals, for me, it all started with the new Black Panther Party. When we saw open, flagrant, illegal voter intimidation, two Black members of the new Black Panther Party sit there and tell white people they're not allowed to go in and vote at a voting place simply because they're white. I don't think there's any more clear-cut evidence when it's on video with audio to support it that this is clearly voter intimidation. Eric Holder claims that one of the things he's proud of is working so hard to make sure that the voters, that the voting process is upheld and everybody's got fair and equal opportunity. And here he had a great, the biggest thing in the world right in front of him, pretty quickly. And he says, no, nothing to see here. Move along. I think that really set the tone for exactly what Eric Holder was going to go through throughout his term as Attorney General. The 911 trials, Eric Holder decided he was going to go ahead and try these 911 plotters in Manhattan, up in New York, rather than in a military court. But, of course, he got all kinds of backlash and pressure, and he really made New Yorkers angry, made the New York government angry, because he decided he was going to do it there without even talking to them about it. So he got a little bit of heat over that, and he ended up holding these trials at Guantanamo. I thought that was pretty interesting. So when we look at this, his decision to do this without even consulting people who were going to be involved in this, he once again said it's going to be my way or the highway, and that's not the way the law works. So they went to Guantanamo Bay. The stop and frisk, everybody remembers the videos and everything going out on YouTube concerning stop and frisk. We actually got a couple of stories on the police here in a few minutes. But, when you look at this stuff going out on YouTube and all these different things, the stop and frisk program in New York, there was a trial in Manhattan Federal Court there a little over a year ago. It was like last June or July. But Eric Holder, instead of waiting to see what the trial concluded, what verdict had been reached in this that was challenging the New York's stop and frisk, he decides to jump in and start touting a federal monitoring program to oversee the NYPD, the New York Police Department, over something that they hadn't even been proven was wrong or right. He decided he wanted to be proactive and not let the courts do their job. But he thinks he upholds the law and he's this great person. These are kind of some of the scandals that we got sick of, I'll be honest with you. And I don't think I'll ever not be sick of them. Of course, we talked about Operation Fast and Furious. He lied about that. He said at the very beginning he didn't know anything about this. Then, of course, we started getting some documentation that said, oh, wait a minute, Mr. Holder, you're lying. And he had to admit that he lied. He later admitted that thousands of weapons were allowed to get into the hands of the Mexican drug cartels, one of which came back and killed Border Patrol agent Brian Terry. You know, he finally admitted that it happened, that he knew about it. At that point, he should have been fired. He should have been fired in 2011 if you let him go any other time. He should have been fired then because he lied about an event that ended up killing an American. And he knew about the program and did not fix it until he was caught. And we wonder why people are so concerned about the IRS scandal, the Benghazi scandals, and all the other scandals that are going on today. You know, Eric Holder has clearly proven the law doesn't apply to him or this administration by that act alone. Getting caught as a lawyer lying is a serious, serious thing. And he lied. So that's a very disturbing thing. Then, of course, we had the Defense of Marriage Amendment. He told the whole world that he would not, even though he's the top law enforcement official, even though he's the top attorney in the United States, Holder said he would not defend the Defense of Marriage Act prohibiting gay marriage, that he would not do his job and defend it on behalf of the U.S. once it was passed. So here we've got a guy who says he wants to make sure that everybody has equal rights, fair process and everything else in voting, and allows illegal voter intimidation to go on based on race, proving he's a racist, in my opinion. You've got the Operation Fast and Furious. Whether you agree with that operation or not is irrelevant, but when Eric Holder lied and said he didn't know anything about it, then got caught in the lie, this is an attorney. He should have been fired or disbarred. Then, in the Defense of Marriage Act, doesn't matter whether you approve of that act or not. In fact, the law was later declared unconstitutional. And that's okay. That's what we have this system of courts for. That's why we have our system of justice. That's why we have, you know, the process that we have. The courts ruled it unconstitutional. That was fine. But Eric Holder had an obligation to do a job that we pay him to do. Barack Obama put him there. The Congress agreed to go ahead and approve him. And he refused to do his job. Three strikes, you're out. There's your third. And that's before you go into anything else. And never mind that, you know, he wanted to go out and go after journalists. James Rosen as an example. You know, Eric Holder signed off on a search warrant to go after Fox's James Rosen, you know, because he had leaks. So he went after his phone records, his computer records, everything. Clearly violated the law with that. Okay. He said he didn't know that there was any potential criminal cases against journalists. That was the other lie because he's the one who signed off on the damn search warrant, folks. Come on. Then you've got other things. I mean, there's so many things. You know, you've got something called, Operation Choke Point, if you will. And I found out about this one at thedailysignal.com because I'd forgotten all about it. Operation Choke Point was set up to, you know, to stop illegal mass market consumer fraud. And all of a sudden, you know, the only people who are being targeted through this Operation Choke Point and this mass market so-called consumer fraud, you guessed it, gun vendors and pawn shops. They were unfairly targeted because they wanted gun control. Then you've got the IRS targeting stuff. Holder has conflicts of interest there. And fascinatingly enough, he doesn't have time to go through the documents and everything that he's had, how long now, to make available that a federal judge told him he had to release on October the 22nd, refused to give him yet another extension. But he had plenty of time to go to Ferguson, Missouri, and initiate a federal investigation into a police officer shooting of Michael Brown. He went to Ferguson and decided he was going to interject himself into that Ferguson shooting. One cop shooting. They hadn't even begun the investigation. They haven't even completed the investigation. They don't know whether he's going to be indicted or not. But this is so serious to Eric Holder that he has to go over there because one white cop shot a black criminal, and I don't want to hear anybody tell me, you didn't know he was a criminal, you didn't know anything. I don't care. It's been proven that he had just left a store stealing stuff, and Michael Brown, you know, had become aggressive. Regardless of whether you think it was justified or not, Eric Holder certainly had no business going to the airwaves and making this a national issue once again, creating the racial divide in America over this particular case before the process, the due process, had even concluded. He did the same thing with Ferguson, except he did it on steroids that he did to the New York Police Department when he involved himself in their frisk and search, or their stop and frisk. You know, those are the problems. I tell you, it's very disturbing. It becomes a very disturbing paradox. We know that Eric Holder has served, in my opinion, as to be one of the most divisive, racist, anti-government attorney generals that I've ever seen in my lifetime. I'm sorry. That's the way I feel about it. I have no problem with him saying he's going to resign. I just wish he was already gone. I just wish he was already gone. You know, I think he was given a great opportunity to maybe win respect from the entire community, not just a racist segment of it, but from the entire community. I think he had a great opportunity that he blew because he's a racist, in my opinion. That's just the way it is. You know, Holder just couldn't get anything done because Holder didn't want to get anything done unless it involved some hidden agenda. So, goodbye, good riddance, glad to see you go, sayonara, adios, whatever you want to put there. You know, I mean, that is the size of it. You know, of course, we've got, you know, well, I got to point this one out, I guess. I was getting ready to move on, and I just kind of looked at my notes. And I'm like, well, you know, I better mention this, because I tell you, this is hilarious. You know, one of our favorite racist, race hustlers, baiters, if you will, Al Sharpton, in his never-ending quest to try to act like he's relevant and try to build himself up to be something that people are finally waking up to, being that he's a nobody, he announced he had to go out and make this announcement like he was at, and imply that he was working with the Obama administration to name Eric Holder's replacement. Now, in my opinion, he probably is. He probably is, because Obama is just as racist as Sharpton and Eric Holder, in my opinion. All right. But Al Sharpton said that his organization, the National Action Network, National Action Network, the only action they take is trying to get your dollar, were engaged in immediate conversations with the White House on deliberations over a successor that will continue in the general direction of Attorney General Eric Holder. As we clearly know, Eric Holder's direction is destroying America from the legalities of it anyway. But then, you know, he had to go back through. This is at Mediaite. Then he had to go back through and say, oh, we got to clear this up, because he started getting call on it because it made it sound like he was working with the Obama administration. Then he had to come back and say, well, we're not actually picking the next candidate. We didn't say that we are in the decision making. He told Business Insider this. He said, we're in a conversation to reach out to them to have meetings about what we want to see in a successor. So what he just said with that statement was what we already know. Hey, you know, me and Bubba were over at the bar kicking back and drinking a beer and said, boy, should we reach out to Obama and see if we can help him find somebody to take over Eric Holder's job? That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. We are having a conversation to reach out to them about having meetings. There's nothing there. But Sharpton has to try to over-glorify himself and try to make himself relevant to this whole thing. And I find it very, very interesting that anybody actually reported that in the first place. It's comical. It really is. Okay, folks, we're going to go take a quick break. When we get back, I want to get into a 23-year-old Florida woman. Yeah, 23-year-old Florida woman spent some time in jail for crystal meth that turned out to be SpaghettiOs. Yes, truth is stranger than fiction. You'll want to tune in for that one. We'll be right back. Listen to the Inspiration Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email MyViewMatters at AOL.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I'm sorry. We're back. I tell you, it's really, you know, a lot of people wonder what you do on break and things like that. Well, the first thing I do is I kind of look through my notes and stuff, make sure where we want to go with the next direction, you know, and things like that. And then you kind of just, you know, want to check on things. So I checked out of Facebook and everything else real quick. I broke a story today we'll get into in a few minutes, but, you know, and a friend of mine had posted on the on Facebook. They post this show a lot. It goes all over the place. We got thousands of you guys that listen, and we really appreciate it. But, hey, you know, and he posts a comment that says, you know, Ed is sometimes wrong but never in doubt. Listen to his show, and you might learn something. And I'm like, wow, I haven't learned anything yet, and I've been doing this for years. It's a crazy situation. Welcome back, folks. I tell you, you know, there's always something going on. And we've been getting into more and more police stories over the last few weeks. You know, and I tell you, I'm really torn by that because I know that most of the officers around the country are really good people. But there's always some dumb one out there who does something stupid. It gets all over the news and ruins it for the rest of them. And, you know, this particular story I'm bringing to you is from BenSwan.com. But here is my example of stupidity. A 23-year-old Florida woman named Ashley Gabrielle Huff was released from Hall County Jail. It was about a week ago, and I apologize just not getting it to you, but it just came out on Swan. I didn't see it before then. But she was put in jail because the car she was riding in, she was a passenger, not even a driver, the car she was riding in had a spoon in it that had some dried-up residue on it. So the Gainesville Police Department arrested her on July the 2nd for felony meth possession charges. When they found this encrusted spoon, they arrested her on felony meth possession charges. This is July 2nd, folks. She said she was innocent from the very beginning. Had never used anything like that, never had any kind of a felony or drug-related charges in her life. She was actually released from jail originally through a drug court program, but she got rearrested on August the 2nd because she had missed one of her appointments. So she remained in jail for 47 more days until September the 18th. She couldn't afford to post bond, so she had to stay in jail. Now, see, the problem with this kind of stuff, you know, the prosecuting attorney was pushing for a plea bargain with her, and if she would have been forced to stay in jail, she probably would have taken the plea bargain, you know, and took the felony just to get out of jail. Jail is not a good place to be, folks, I promise you. You know, so, I mean, you know, she was going to be to the point where she was just about to be forced into this, and her attorney told her to take the plea bargain, said it was a good deal. So she was actually thinking about following her attorney's advice when, lo and behold, the crime lab results finally came back. Now, remember, July the 2nd till September the 18th, the crime lab results finally came back, and it was not crystal meth residue on the spoon. It was exactly what she told the officers it was when they arrested her. It was dried up SpaghettiOs. She had been eating SpaghettiOs in the car. So this Gainesville Police Department arrests this 23-year-old girl, destroys her life for a couple of months over a spoon with dried SpaghettiOs on it. Can somebody explain to me, truthfully, how anybody can get to that point? I mean, there was no other, there's been no drug-related charges or felony-related charges or anything else against her. You know, so she's got a clean record, 23 years old, got a clean record. She wasn't the driver of the vehicle. But in our haste and quest, she almost plea bargained to a drug charge just to get out of jail based on SpaghettiOs. Now, I've not seen a police officer's name here or anything else, but, you know, this is pretty disturbing in the big picture here. So, you know, I thought it was an amusing story. You guys might get a kick out of, and I just had to bring it to you. One story that is not very amusing regarding drugs. According to the Bowling Green Daily News at bgdailynews.com, a Warren County drug court case specialist, folks, was charged with attempted murder of her husband. You heard that right. 42-year-old Judy Reed was charged Wednesday with murder solicitation and first-degree official misconduct. Basically, she had asked a drug court participant. Now, remember, she's a drug court case specialist. She asked one of the people who were in the drug court, you know, to assist her in getting a narcotic that was going to be powerful enough to drug her husband, Dwayne Reed, so that he would die and she could collect his life insurance. That's according to the arrest citation and Warren Circuit Court clerk records. In addition to these charges against Reed, you know, they also charged her this morning with attempted murder because on September the 19th, Judy Reed placed prescription drugs in her husband's food in what police believe was the attempt to kill him. this is according to police spokesman Officer Ronnie Ward. I tell you, you know, here we go. Fortunately, her husband didn't die. The attempt was unsuccessful. He did, of course, you know, get real sick and things like that. I mean, he had some negative reactions to the medicine. But, you know, it was strange because according to the reports as well, Judy Reed had asked Ashley Voiles Scott, who was the drug court participant, if you will, to help her get two Opana tablets, you know, and Reed is, of course, Scott's caseworker. So they got all of this stuff. Miss Reed was actually conspiring with one of the drug people that were having drug problems. They're in a drug court. She's asking this drug person who's in drug court, supposedly, to get help and maybe get somewhere where she could help get off drugs, to find her some illegal drugs so that she could try to kill her husband. But, hey, you know, nothing wrong with that. I mean, this is what's so ridiculous about most of this stuff. This is crazy. So, anyway, so we've got that. I want to get into a couple of stories national that I think are really, really great stories. And I'll tell you why. Because our students, you heard me right, our students today are finally waking up. They are getting sick of the education system. They are getting sick of history being rewritten. They are begging for help. And we have a great story. Now, some of you guys are going to look at this differently than I do, and that's great. If you don't like my take on this next story, call me. Give me a call, 858-683-1326. But hundreds of students walked out of classes in Denver, Colorado, Tuesday, protesting a conservative-led school board that was proposing to change history education, to focus history education on topics that promote citizenship, patriotism, and respect for authority. Okay, now when we look at those three things, the first thing I think is civics. We had civics. We want to teach our kids, you know, citizenship, patriotism, and respect for authority. This is what we want to do. So initially I'm on board with the whole conservative-led school board, right? Until I read further, because what it comes down to is then they want to, you know, show civil disobedience in this negative light, and they would downplay any civil disobedience. So what they're trying to do in the public indoctrination camps, and apparently, here as well, you know, with the conservatives, is we're going to go ahead and rewrite everything. We want you to be good little people who are going to follow directions and never stand up against anything. So they want to clone everybody. Our good friend Dale the Truth, who has his show here on Tuesday nights at the MVM Radio Network, refers to public schools as public indoctrination camps. And I think this is a very, very good reason why. You know, we want people to know our history. How many people who went to school in the 80s and 90s and beyond, even to today, ever saw one thing in their history books about the Japanese internment camps? How many people saw that? You know, our history has been rewritten, you know, to not talk about the negative things that we've done here in the U.S. so that we don't stand up against them. What about Vietnam? What's that, civil disobedience or rioting or any people standing up and protesting? Would Vietnam still have been going on for another 10 years past the point it did? We don't know. You know, civil disobedience does not have to mean, I mean, think about that word, civil disobedience. That means you don't have to go along with the program. There's nothing in there that says, you know, grab a gun, start a revolution, start shooting your neighbors if they disagree. It's civil disobedience. Stand up. Be recognized. Go protest in the streets. Why would we want to downplay that? If it wasn't for civil disobedience, where would America be today? Would we even have America? I mean, think about that. The right to protest, the right to stand up and be heard. You know, my view matters. Ironically, the name of this show, put that together. These are important things. And the fact that these students, that the students are the ones who are leading this walkout, impresses me. Now, of course, the media is trying to say, you know, they're trying to play this off a little bit. And we know that the public indoctrination camps have become very, very liberal. They don't tell us the truth, you know. But when you talk to Tori Liu, a 17-year-old student who was one of the protesters at Ralston Valley High School in Arvada, Colorado, I mean, says that, and I quote, "I don't think my education should be censored. We should be able to know what happened in our past." I agree with that. Isn't censorship the problem? And what's really kind of funny here is the conservative news channel, Fox News, is the source of this story. And it's a negative story against the conservative-led school board. So that's kind of weird, isn't it? You know, but I agree with Tori Liu. Your education should not be censored. You should be able to know about your past. You should be able to know about the different things we've done, whether we were right or whether we were wrong. What have we learned from those lessons? How do we apply that to move forward? You know, the old saying is, if you don't learn from your past, you're doomed to repeat it. So what are we going to do? Are we going to continue trying to spoon feed these guys to be these good little soldiers that, you know, are very, very respectful to authorities, who don't stand up for anything that might be wrong? You know, I mean, what's the deal here? I like this. I like this a lot. It's very, very interesting. You know, but even, you know, you go in this. The school board triggered these walkouts, okay? The school board triggered the walkouts, and that's fine. They've got these little committees that are going to regularly look at these texts and course plans, all this good stuff, and they call this advanced placement history. You know, to make sure that everything promotes citizenship, patriotism, essentials and benefits of the free market system, respect for authority, and respect for individual rights. You know, and again, those are all basic civics topics that we used to be taught in civics. And now this is some sort of advanced placement history is what they termed it. But, you know, they are not going to, you know, encourage or condone, you know, civil disorder or any kind of strike or disregard of the law. Well, I get not condoning, you know, the law or disregarding the law. I get that. But there's nothing wrong with peaceful protest or civil disobedience, and peaceful protest is considered that in many cases. So, you know, why would you not want to go ahead and show both parts of the thing? You know, our civil disobedience has changed a hell of a lot of the world as we know it today right here in America. You know, I wish we were more civilly disobedient today. I wish we had more people going out on the street and protesting all the asinine things that our leaders are doing to us that are breaking the bank and destroying freedom right here at home. You know, but they've become these good little robotons that do what they're told to do, or they go underground. You know, so these are great things. Julie Williams is part of the board's majority. She's the one who had brought this forward. It was put on hold last week and all these different things. You know, she says, according to her quote, there are things we may not be proud of as Americans, but we shouldn't be encouraging our kids to think that America is a bad place. Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I don't think there's anything encouraging your children to tell them that America is a bad place. I think that explaining to them and being totally accountable for the things we've done in our history, both good and bad, make us a better America. You know, and for Julie Williams to sit here and say that, you know, we shouldn't be encouraging our kids to think that America is a bad place, you just said with your statement that if you disagree with something, you know, then you automatically think that it's okay to shut them down. The censorship is what makes America a bad place. Taking away freedoms and putting holds and strangleholds on, you know, the First Amendment are makes America a bad place. You know, so if this is the truth, and this is the way she believes, she needs to be off school board. She needs to be off school board. Tyrone Parks, another, he's a senior at Arvada High School. You know, and I liked what he had to say here. Another student demonstrator, Tyrone Parks, you know, he said that the nation's foundation was built on civil protest, just as I'm telling you now. You know, everything that we've done, according to Parks, he says that everything that we've done is what allowed us to be at this point today. And if you take that from us, you take away everything that America was built off of. Well said, student Parks. Well said. That's the truth. You know, there's an old saying, if you don't know where you come from, how could you know where you're going? And that's what I read into those type of comments. If you don't know where you've come from, how can you know where you're going? Why do we want to hide our past? Maybe it's because there's a lot more that we can uncover nowadays with today's technology, internet, and the advancements that we have in research and finding information. Maybe, just maybe. Once we go down a row, we never know how far that rabbit hole is going to go. You know, and a lot of these people don't want us to have free thought, rational thought, so that we can determine that, man, this was really screwed up. Or we can see, wow, it's even worse today. Maybe we need to rise up. They don't want to see. You know, the so-called leaders want to stifle us from having our opinions. Public indoctrination schools, I think our good friend, Mr. Gillespie, may actually be right with that statement. I do. And I know that makes some people angry, but why not? You know, so it's very, very interesting. You know, and if I can, to end this, let me just put in George Orwell quote from 1984 and really think about this. He who controls the past controls the future. He who controls the present controls the past. Think about that. I love it. All right. Earlier I talked about the Newton tragedy up in Connecticut, and a lot of people believe that was a conspiracy theory. You know, Eric Holder, in my opinion, added fuel to that fire today when he said that that tragedy, not getting gun control, was the biggest regret that he had of his entire tenure as Attorney General of the U.S. Well, it's fascinating because according to Red Flag News, recently released FBI crime stats, actually show that no murders occurred in Newton, Connecticut in 2012, despite all the reports we saw on TV and in every newspaper and everything else, that, you know, at least 27 people died. You know, they were slaughtered during the shooting rampage that we're told was being done by Adam Lanza. You know, so we've got all of these things going forward. And ironically, the FBI crime stats don't show any deaths for there. They show all the deaths for, you know, Aurora, Colorado. They show all of those deaths and their crime stats. But miraculously, nothing is shown concerning Newton. And I just put a link in the chat room for you guys on that story as well. You know, we were watching all of this stuff on TV, right? 20 students, 6 staff members, and there was one other person that was killed. Oh, Adam Lanza. He killed himself. 27 people killed. You know, and they're not reported as any deaths in Newton. Are you kidding me? It was very, very interesting. And what makes this thing even more of a twist is, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of the name Wolfgang Halbig. Wolfgang Halbig is a former state police officer who decided that, you know, he was tired of putting people in jail and wanted to find a way to keep people out of jail. So he became a teacher, a professor, all these other things. And he became an expert, you know, on these type of shootings, these school shootings and everything else. In fact, Wolfgang Halbig was the expert called to testify, you know, during the Columbine shootings and things like that. So, I mean, this guy has been around. He has one hell of a resume. This guy goes to court. He does everything. He knows how to investigate school shootings. So you can imagine our surprise. You know, Halbig was sent in a Freedom of Information Act request to the Sandy Hook School and to everybody involved, an FOIA request, to get information. 16 basic questions, you know, that he asked in every one of these cases that he gets paid to investigate. You know, he's an expert witness, right? Incredibly, you know, Mr. Halbig is this big school, national school safety consultant, goes all over the country teaching school safety and reenacting this kind of stuff. Incredibly, he was visited at home by homicide detectives because he started pushing the point. They were refusing him the FOIA request. They were stalling him at every turn. They were doing everything they could not to answer his questions, you know, and he pursued it. So some homicide detectives from Connecticut showed up at his door and started threatening him. If you continue down this road, bad things are going to happen to you. Once again, we've got, you know, proof, if you will. Mr. Halbig's testimony and his statement to that effect would certainly, with his credentials, lead me to believe he's credible. That our government continues wanting to cover things up. Why? If there was no conspiracy in Sandy Hook whatsoever, then why can't we get transparency like we have in every other one, like we have in every other case? It's not coincidental that Eric Holder picked that as his greatest regret, especially when you look forward into these kind of stories, and believe me, I have been looking into all kinds of stories, and it's really fascinating when you look at the video at Sandy Hook. There's nothing there. There's no ambulances. There's none of these emergency personnel anywhere near the buildings. If you look at the police out in the parking lot, they're standing around eating donuts and drinking coffee or Coke or whatever the hell they were drinking. At the same time, supposedly, the radios are going off telling them there's a second shooter. They're just sitting around nice and calm, screwing around. We do know that they apprehended a second guy who was running in the woods, and he is tied to Adam Lanza. But that story disappeared completely. It only aired one time. There are all kinds of things. So there is an organized effort to go here after gun control, in my opinion. And that's why these students and the things that they're doing in Colorado and other places around the country standing up and saying, hey, tell us the truth. Give us the truth. Let us deal with the facts. We can decide what we believe and what we don't. That's why those kind of fights are so important. That's why those things are so important. You want another case in point of liberal control? Here you go. According to Newsmax, we touched on this late in the show last night. According to Newsmax, Dinesh D'Souza, popular author, filmmaker, everything, right? Gave roughly $20,000 total, to $5,000 apiece to four people, to a couple of couples of friends of his, to contribute to a campaign of a friend he went to school with. Of course, it's a violation. Nobody's denied that. You know, Sousa said, you know, said he was sorry for it. He knows he screwed up. But in the grand scheme of things, here was a guy, you know, for a minimal amount of money, is not a criminal. You know, this is the kind of a situation, these campaign finance violations, if you will, if you're connected, go away. If you're connected, they go away. In D'Souza's case, they decided they were going to force the issue, force the prosecution. Even Harvard Law School professor Alan Dershowitz said that he should have never been prosecuted for this at all. It was a small, you know, mistake. It was a stupid mistake. It was very small. You give the guy a little bit of probation, maybe give him a fine. That's about it. We know here in Kentucky, right? Especially here in Louisville. Well, we could tell you horror stories about how much money passes hands illegally. We just can't get anybody to do their job and prosecute. So here we've got D'Souza, who has done, you know, practically basically nothing. He made one stupid mistake, and that's okay. But U.S. District Judge Richard Berman in Manhattan decided that this was so serious, that he had to give D'Souza a 5-year sentence. You heard me right, a 5-year sentence. He has to spend 8 months of that 5 years in a halfway house. He has to spend 8 months in a halfway house, and he has to attend weekly counseling sessions for 5 years. Therapeutic counseling is what the judge called it. He has to participate in weekly therapeutic counseling for 5 years, and he has to teach an English class 8 hours a week for 5 years. Folks, this is nothing more than headhunting. D'Souza's films have been critical of Barack Obama and the Democratic machine, and this was the way they got him back. This should have never been in court. I hope like hell somebody appeals this, and I hope this judge gets chastised. I myself have been involved in local ones, certainly not on a federal problem. I get that. I haven't been involved in federal cases like this, but I have filed charges for this stuff here in Kentucky, and I've won my case for a hell of a lot more money than this. And those violations, there was a $30,000 fine, and they got to walk away. This is disturbing. This is disturbing. And I hope that people will understand that. We are running short on time, so guess what? You got it. We're going to go ahead. I want to talk about one story real quick that we broke today at Louisville Politics. Here in Louisville, State House Rep. Dennis Horlander, he's running for re-election in the 40th District State House. He's a Democrat, and he has a Republican challenger by the name of Ron Sider. Ron Sider is a Republican challenger for that seat, and Ron Sider today filed a lawsuit against State Rep. Dennis Horlander that says that Mr. Horlander is not a resident of Louisville, Kentucky. Now, we see these kind of things go back and forth all the time. I mean, the Democratic Party is notorious for trying to get people off the ballot, and the Republican Party is notorious for trying to get people off the ballot in their primary. They'll go after anybody. Our friend Ed Martin, you know, is a great example of that in the times he's run for office. You know, but it's fascinating in this case because most of those situations end up disappearing. There's really not any evidence. He said, she said. About the only thing that's really going to keep anybody out is if they have the wrong signature on their ballot or they don't have enough signatures. That's the easy way. This one, however, challenges the residency, and it's very interesting because Ron Sider lays out, and there's a copy of the complaint at LouisvillePolitics.com and a link attached to the article, but there's a Ron Sider lays out that Horlander is actually living in Hillview, Kentucky, which is Bullitt County, right outside of Louisville, or Jefferson County, I should say. And he's been living there for quite a few years. From what I understand, there is evidence to be presented that will prove the case. Personal effects at this particular address in Hillview, Kentucky. That's where Horlander Parks stays every single night. The house that he is, or the address that he is using for his residence in Shively, which is where the 40th District at, is actually used for his real estate business. He's a realtor. So, he's using his office address, which is illegal here. You have to live in, you have to reside, at least 1 year ahead or the past year going into the election. So, it's not really that complicated. It looks like a cut and dry case for Mr. Sider. At this point, if it was any other race than an incumbent Democrat, I would say this Democrat is off the ticket. He should be. In my opinion, just based on what I've seen now, folks, remember, this is opinion. I haven't heard the case. I'm not the judge. But this is going to be heard October the 17th at 8:30 a.m. in front of Judge McKay Chauvin. So I'll definitely be paying attention to this. But if this is indeed true, and from what I understand, there is all kinds of evidence to be presented, visual evidence as well as anything else. If this is proven, will Secretary of State Democrat Alice in Wonderland Grimes, who can't do the job she's got now as Secretary of State and wants to be your senator, will she do her job? Will Democratic Attorney General Jack Conway do his job? Will any of these people, throw Dennis Horlander off the ballot? If they do, Ron Sider, Republican, wins that seat by default. So it's going to be interesting to see how this goes out, but I wanted to bring you guys up to speed on that. You can check that out at LouisvillePolitics.com. For you guys that are in the chat room, I'll go ahead and put a copy of that in there for you right now. So there's a lot going on, folks. We pay attention to everything. I apologize. I'm a little out of sorts tonight. I understand that. But, there's always so much I want to get into. We just never have enough time. That's it for this week for me. I guess I'll see you guys on Monday night. Don't forget to tune in Sunday night at 7 o'clock. With our good friend Kim Mulman and his Liberty Unbridled show right here at the MVM Radio Network, Sunday night at 7 o'clock. And I will be back on Monday at 7 with the Ed Springsteen show, as always. In the meantime, folks, have a great win. Thank you so much for listening. God bless. Take care.